Let's get this bitch started. I said, we got this.
Flow stupid, yet the rhyme's so brilliant. Never could you bring the kid down, I'm too resilient. And fuck them biting ass niggas who be stealing. Y'all niggas copy my style like a chameleon. I'm a Brazilian, that's one in a million. Too high for ceilings, it's how I am feeling. What the blood clot? How did all these thug rocks have me looking dumb hot with my eyes all bloodshot? Now that's a mugshot in the making. No need for ovens when you're waking, baking. No faking, I only smoke the danky herbs.
Yo, 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 welcome back to another episode of the Hip Hop Heads Podcast, H Cubed, up in this bitch.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. And after a brief hiatus, a brief vacation, yep, the boys is back in town.
Yo,
we is back with another regular episode.
Let's fucking go.
Let's go, man. And let me just say this, let me just give a quick recap. Vegas was cool. You know what I mean, shout out to anybody that's listening from Vegas.
Yep.
And here's the thing, I wasn't familiar with the fact that like Vegas has like, I mean, I don't know why I never, like, this isn't groundbreaking what I'm saying, but like, I guess I just never thought of it, because everybody, when they think about Vegas, they think about the Strip.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all they, you know, that you would think is Vegas. But no, Vegas, it has like its own like little suburb areas that look nice and shit like that.
My friend lives in the suburb of Vegas.
Oh, where? What? Do you know what part?
I wish I could remember, honestly. I know it's only it's like a 20-minute trip from the Strip, but that doesn't tell you anything. So
I feel like that's almost everything in Vegas. It's like
pretty
a 20-minute
trip. Pretty much. Like, they used to live a lot closer, because my man's dad used to work at the Luxor Hotel, the Pyramid Joint.
Oh, okay, okay.
Nice, but nice. But yeah, once he retired, honestly, once he got married and had kids, they moved the fuck up out of there. He was like, I don't want to be anywhere near the Strip, and I don't blame him.
Oh, nah.
Especially if you grow up in Vegas, man. It's,
man, dog. The Strip is fucking, it's full of, I feel like it's such full of like people trying to either swindle or like just like, you know, casinos trying to get you to bet all your money.
Yeah,
like it's just, it literally, people go in there and ruin their lives.
They really,
like,
that's do that's why life. The windows don't be open, so can't nobody jump out after they lose all their money.
Bro, I remember one time, because this is my second time going, I remember the first time I went, we stayed at one of the hotels, and I thought we was gonna be able to open up the window to, like, you know, smoke a little bit or whatever in the hotel rooms. Bro, you can't open the fucking window.
Nah, the only hotel I've been in where they had any opening windows was I forgot what it was called, but it was actually off the Strip, and it was like a window that was like in the shower. And it was like, okay, like, say the shower is right here, and then the back wall of the shower has the window, but it was like a little teeny window. Like, you're not fitting through it unless you're a toddler.
Right.
So like, that was the only window I could open. So like, I had to go into the bathroom, stand in the shower, and blow the smoke out the window that way. But I was just like, yeah, like, you can't smoke in a Vegas jump for shit, because you'll get in trouble for blazing inside the hotel if you don't have some type of window or some type of thing that can stop the smell.
My nigga, that's why I'm glad. Honestly, I honestly could probably say I would not stay at a fucking hotel in Vegas for that reason, because you can just get an Airbnb. That's what we did.
I mean, pretty much. But then again, Airbnbs all come with their own problems and shit like that. So
fair,
like, I've heard so many weird stories about Airbnbs. And like, there was an Airbnb we went to in Puerto Rico for my man's bachelor party.
Right.
And it was like parts of it were closed off that shouldn't have been closed off, and we're like, okay, this is fucking weird as shit. And then, like, I think we got in trouble because, like, I basically, like, reached in and hacked my way into getting into this back room so that we could get something that we needed. And right. I think we got in trouble for it. And I was just like, but all I did was open the door, like, for real. But I was like, I don't know. Airbnbs have weird rules. I've just heard stories recently about an Airbnb where the lady, she was renting to this one guy, and he said that there was going to be, like, three people there, and she didn't want him to have guests, and no one could stay the night unless they were written on the list, and like, ended up charging this man like hundreds of dollars in fees for rules that she said he broke because she had a camera and was watching him the entire time inside and outside the house.
Yeah, no, I mean, duh, all that shit is fucking weird and sketchy. And even honestly, on our trip, the late, because we rented out essentially what is like a, you know, because I guess they don't have basements out there in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
So they rented out like a side kind of like house kind of type of situation.
Okay. Yeah.
And we'd like, I guess, set on a joint that we could smoke like by the door. Like they had like these two chairs, like little setup area right there.
Okay.
And that's where we smoked the whole trip. And but the whole time, the lady who was running to us was like this Cuban lady. And she, dog, when I tell you her and the people that lived in that house were up at every fucking hour of the day.
Jesus.
From like, bro, from like 8 in the morning to like 4 a.m. Like there was always somebody outside.
Jesus.
Talking what sounded like some kind of Spanish dialect, because some words I understood
uh-huh.
and other words I didn't. So it was just kind of a crazy situation. But it was cool because we could just smoke. And honestly, I realize that if I can't smoke on my vacation, god damn it, I don't want to go.
Hey, I'm with you right there. I'm with you right there.
I'm going to just be honest with you.
Like, oh, we can't smoke? Well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it.
Yeah.
I might yeah. pop in for something special yeah. real quick, but I ain't staying.
Bro, honestly, that's kind of where I'm at with most shit at right now in my life. Yeah, so.
I feel you. I mean, you know, it's what makes you comfortable, and you old enough at this point to be like, look, I have the option.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm nah. just, I'm like, it's not like I'm 18 and I'm just trying to hustle everything through so I can get down there. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly. But long story short, man, had a good time in Vegas. Bad Bunny, hell of a concert.
Oh, shit.
So it was a good show. If y'all are on the edge on whether you want to go see him or not, I think you should. I think anybody who's a Bad Bunny fan should definitely go watch it. But that being said, man, it's good to be back You're with right. another episode.
Yo, episode 250, nigga. Episode
250. 250. Shouts out to my fucking co-host for editing all 250 of these episodes and shit like that. You already know. The roses is needed for my mans.
Thank you.
So, you know what I mean? And definitely shout out to all of y'all for tuning in and making this just a little bit more special than just us talking, you know, because it's definitely nice to know that there is somebody also listening, relating, laughing,
yep.
and agreeing and or disagreeing with, you know, our opinions exactly. on certain topics that we talk
and
about.
Just overall enjoying what the fuck, this is the fuckery that we put out.
And also just know, right, that this is literally just two friends that literally we met to do the podcast. Like, that's the crazy thing about it.
Yeah.
Like how we met was because we were like almost put together. Like, we had never met. And then a mutual friend of ours was like, yo, like, I should do like a music podcast. And then we were like, all right.
All right,
And then however many years later, it has to be like 6 years later, right?
It's, seven.
Seven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so definitely, man. Thank y'all for rocking with us this whole time, man. Definitely. We definitely plan to be here, man, till the internet stop working.
No bull. So, or if we stop working, one of the two.
Or if we stop working, whichever one happens first. You know what I mean?
All right, well, we do have a special little game at the end. We didn't really plan anything, even though we said we was going to. But like I said, he's been on vacation. I've been on vacation mentally. So we didn't really plan nothing. But we do have a game, or I have a game that Chris is going to be my contestant on at the end of the show. But up until then, we're going to bring you a regular style episode. And there are a few things to talk about this week. And let's go ahead and start with Juvenile is he just got 400 degrees put back on streaming services because of I think some type of rights to the music or something like that, maybe something he sampled wasn't cleared, and that just got handled. So congratulations, Juvie. One of your best projects is back online for people to listen to. And at the same time, he says, yo, there is going to be a Hot Boys reunion. No matter who seems to have beef with who, no, it's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's the big homie here. It's going to happen. So you got BG, you got Turk, you got Wayne and Juvie that will be getting together for a reunion tour, which is actually kind of exciting, even though I wasn't really a Hot Boys fan, but I do like a good amount of their music, I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be interested in going to see a Hot Boys show. If it was somebody else, like another group or so,
right,
I would be more inclined to go see it. But it's something that I would be interested to see. And I mean, I know that I feel like I'm like, you know, like just reaching out here like for like, you know, and because of it's not that. It's just that I feel like it might be a better show if it's a couple of different groups. Like if you got like three or four groups. Imagine if it was like the Hot Boys, the Lox, like 3-6 Mafia, and like No Limit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that would be a hot ass fucking concert. I'm not even gonna lie. Absolutely. And that would have been like one of the most not underground because they were all popular, but it was like at the time, like No Limit, the Hot Boys, like and 3-6 Mafia were still kind of like, I don't want to say underground, but they weren't as big as they ended up back in the day. So right. It was just like, it would be interesting to see those different groups go together. And they're all pretty hard, so I can't fake.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you, man. I personally, like, I'm not the biggest, fan of the Hot Boys, just in the sense that I don't know a whole lot of their music, mm-hmm. except for, like, the hits and shit like that.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Because I feel like for me, that was, like, right before I started kind of, like, really listening to music like that. But nonetheless, it is dope to see, you know, comebacks like that. Obviously, I'm sure that Juvie's like, yo, there's no way we're missing out on this bag.
Hell no.
Y'all niggas need to make up. Y'all niggas need to fucking, you know what I mean, do what y'all gotta do to make sure we can get this money, because we're not about to miss out on this bag. So,
you know what? I feel like he said, let's go get that bag at the end of the jump that I read, too. So, like, nigga, hit it up right on the head. Congratulations, sir. You speaking the shit that Juvie speaking.
There you go. Say less.
I wish I still had the article up, but of course I closed it. So, you know, whatever.
But look, I really do feel like, you know, shit, if me and somebody else, granted, unless somebody died from some shit, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm like, I would look at the nigga like, look, bro, I get it. You know what I mean? You don't got to like me, man, but let's go out there and make some money this one last time.
No bull. And it's some shit that y'all, like, most of them niggas ain't made money since the late 2000s, since the early 2000s. Yeah. So, like, y'all exactly. think that there wouldn't be no beef and that y'all would just be ready to get to the bag. I mean, that just makes sense to me, but I'm just a Negro out here talking bullshit on the internet.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. So, nonetheless, I'm sure people are going to be excited for that. Like you said, hopefully it is more of a group, you know, type of scenario. But either way, interesting in 2024.
Facts. All right, and let me see. Also, Club Shay Shay does it again. This mm-hmm. is beginning to be a recurring theme with Club Shay Shay, where people get on and talk the absolute most.
Yes.
And do the absolute most. This time Absolutely. It was Steve Stout who was taking shots at Dame Dash. I think you might know a little bit more about this because I think you're the one that told me about it. So go ahead and you want to inform the people about what you know about, because I don't really know that much.
Yeah, so pretty much from what I saw, Steve Stout was getting interviewed by Shannon Sharp, mm-hmm. as Cooper said, and he pretty much mentioned that, you know, Dame Dash fumbled the bag with Jay-Z, and he had the hottest rapper in the world in his corner, and ultimately that, you know, him being as hard-headed as he is and as hard to work with as he is, allegedly, that pretty much it was a self-sabotaging thing, that people didn't plot against, you know, Dame, and that pretty much essentially completely throwing them under the bus, in my opinion, mm-hmm. right? Now, granted, it is an interview, and I'm curious as to how they got to talking about Dame.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's because of, you know, the history of them, you know, working in the past, and
yeah, obviously it's part of his history.
Yeah, so, you know, pretty much he said that essentially didn't paint Dame out in the greatest light of the world. And
Dame doesn't paint himself in the greatest light, so...
fair to say. but Dane came out essentially and pretty much was like, man, this is exactly why I had to slap the shit out of Steve Stout a few years ago for speaking on other man's business, right? He was like, but look, thankfully I've evolved something, and essentially called him out and was like, bro, like,
okay, first of all, I want to see receipts on him smacking the shit out of Steve Stout. Second of all, I want to see receipts on, like, the conversation, like, why it happened. Like, I need to see this information because Dame Dash is always, air quotations, smacking the shit out of somebody. So, like, every time he's like talking about someone that he doesn't like, is I smack the shit out of him, or I will smack the shit out of him, or something like that. So like, I just kind of want to see the receipts of if that shit actually happened, because he just be ya out his mouth a lot, and it's just like, okay, nigga, like, are you actually out here trying to like be? Are you actually out here being like the fucking menace that you are? Like, you know, like the nigga that ran, what's his name? Jesus, I thought I was gonna be slick with that transition, and I'm not. I can't remember the nigga name. The nigga who used to run Death Row.
Suge Knight.
Yeah, Suge Knight. Are you out here on your Suge Knight shit and just smacking the shit out of niggas and hanging niggas over fucking balconies and shit, or are you just being loud and yah yah rah rah like a lot of like some New York niggas be?
Nah, but like I think I don't know if you remember what was it that he kind of ran upon. That owed him money. Somebody, he ran up on somebody that owed him money.
Man, he ran up on like four people that owed him money. One of them was the nigga that produces TV shows and shit.
Yeah, him. That's what I'm talking about. So
nigga name. I can't remember the name right now.
I say that to point out, like, man, like, you know, there's a documented history of him, you know, confronting people, and then I feel like if you have it in you to confront somebody, then I feel like, you know, him slapping somebody isn't too far-fetched to think. Like,
I feel you. But, like the nigga who did TV and shit like that, he ain't gonna run up on him. He might run up on him and be in his face and shit. He ain't about to smack that nigga, because that nigga will get him under assault charges with the quickness, and his ass will end up in fucking jail. Now, if it was another rapper or a person in the rap community, quite possibly. But at the same time, all these niggas that he be talking about, he be smacking the shit out of, are rich. And yeah, they ain't gonna let that shit go. So
right.
I kind of feel like all the smacking and shit like that, maybe back in the day it could have been possible in the 90s, maybe the early 2000s. And again, like, we don't know when this alleged smack apparently happened, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, I'm really just tired of hearing this nigga talking about smacking the shit out of niggas, because every time he got a problem with somebody, he's smacking the shit out of somebody. And it's just like, okay, really? Are you really smacking the shit out of everybody that you don't like, or everybody that you owe you money? Like, come on, for real. Be an actual adult man and just be like, yeah, I got problems with that man. He owed me money. Or, yeah, I got problems with that man. He was talking shit, blah, blah, blah. Don't be out here trying to smack the shit out of everybody, or saying you're going to smack the shit out of everybody. That just makes you sound stupid.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a problem with anybody saying anything as long as they back it up. Now, has he backed it up? We don't know.
Exactly.
We don't, like you said, we don't have the receipts. But if he's talking how he's talking and he's still standing on his shit, hey, by all means, right? I just have a problem with people talking like that, and definitely not backing it up, not being about that. But again, you know, we don't got the receipts, so we don't know. Granted, like you said, you know, Dame hasn't always painted himself out to be the most likable person in hip hop.
Facts.
You could argue that he's done the exact opposite.
Made himself the biggest bully, one of the biggest bullies.
Yeah, and he definitely, you know, he definitely has like a manipulative bully type of energy whenever he's in a conversation with somebody.
Yeah, facts.
Because it's almost like the absolute moment he has a chance to like just throw a jab at you, and like unwarranted jab at that.
Yeah,
it's like he's gonna do it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it's I don't know. I don't get it necessarily why, but. Hey, I mean, he's found a way to remain relevant somehow all throughout these years. And
I mean, we just put this as according. This is Dame Dash. This is how Dame Dash operates. This is how Dame Dash act. We really don't expect anything different. It's kind of like, it's like okay, this is Kanye. This is how Kanye act. Or this is 50. You know, like, anybody who has weird issues or be going off randomly, like, okay, that's just that nigga, blah blah blah. At this point, like, it's not really relevant. Although, like I said, the smacking people, like I said, I want to see the receipts. Are you actually out here about it, or are you just out here talking about it?
Hey, I mean, I guess honestly, we'll probably never know.
Facts.
But but I don't know. To be honest with you, right? I don't know. I guess we'll just have to.
Yeah.
You know.
But
live with not knowing.
Basically, but hey, congratulations, Club Shay Shay! Another controversial interview in the books. Got people talking. Got other people angry. I feel like this is like the MO of Club Shay Shay. It's just like, all right, come in, spill the most dirt that you got, or the biggest juice that you got, and let's see what the fuck stirs up on the internet the next day.
So the crazy thing about that, right, is that he actually, just a sidetrack on something real quick. Uh-huh. He came out and said that he made from that Cat Williams interview three times more money than he made in any season he played in NFL.
God damn.
Three times.
God damn. He Hold was on, a beast. he Hold was on. Getting paid. What you mean? Jesus Christ.
Shannon. I'm gonna have to find it. We're gonna have to find this out.
That's actually like disgusting. Like I'm like almost physically disgusted by that number fact.
Okay, we're about to find out how much you're talking about. Because I just looked up his contracts. Oh buddy. Oh buddy. Okay. Oh, buddy. Okay, so the most he made, okay, so in 15 seasons, he made $22 million, right? Uh-huh. Now, the most that he made in one season was in 2000 when he made $5 million in a season. Uh-huh. That's Man, crazy.
That's low money now.
It's nothing now. People are making fucking $30 million a year.
Uh-huh. Guaranteed and shit.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so he just off of that one interview, He made at least $15 million because he said three times more than any season in the NFL.
Damn, and the most expensive one was $5 million. God damn.
Mm-hmm. He just made quick $15 million on top of all the other money that he's probably making.
I'm saying because you know he is he still with the niggas on? Oh, was he still with the niggas during football season?
What you mean?
Like, was he one of the commenters and shit during football season? Because didn't he have that job for a while?
He did, but I don't think he's done it in a couple seasons already. Like, but yes, that was his role for a real long time.
Well, that can let you know how long ago it was. I actually watched the pregame shit. I just watched the game now.
Nah, facts. So he then started doing the Undisputed with Skip Bayless.
Yeah. I hate Skip Bayless. I'm sorry.
They broke up with that, and he kind of has his own shit now.
They were adversarial on that joint a few times that I've seen it because that joint was wild the way they used to go back and forth.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, because you know that was the whole formula for that, you know, type of show, which is like, you know, arguing about sports and shit like that, which it's crazy that, like, you know, when I was younger I kind of fell for it, but I didn't realize how formulaic a lot of shit that, you know, entertainment how formulaic entertainment is
on TV. And still is damn near everything that was on TV and still today.
And still today, let's be real.
Unless it's like sports or like, I can't even say it because even if it's like a like a written comedy show or whatever, still formulaic.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. Like, there's nothing really like that doesn't follow some kind of cookie cutter type of situation.
Exactly. That's kind of sad too.
I know, right?
There's like no creativity left. Just
it literally is that, bro. And it all it is because I mean I'm assuming if you don't fucking follow a certain formula, then you probably won't get the backing of, like, you know, all these other, you know, major companies and shit like that. Because they'll be like, nah, nigga, like we're not trying to take that much of a risk. We're trying to do what we know is gonna work.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's sticking to a certain formula. So
exactly. Well, hey, you know, again, congratulations, Shannon Sharp. Obviously, he's doing well, and he's going to continue to do well because everybody's going to want to come on to that fucking podcast, and if they've got dirt to spill, it's going to be Shannon's going to be there with a fucking broom and a dustpan, nigga.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. So shout out to him, man.
All right. Well, our next topic, just real quick. Tank, who has the R&B Money podcast, has announced that there's going to be an R&B Money tour. And now it's with Carl Thomas and Kerry Hilson. And as we said before the show, why Kerry Hilson?
Yeah.
Why Kerry Hilson? Kerry Hilson has two songs that I can remember. And I just looked up the name of the other song that I couldn't remember earlier when we was talking before the show, which is Knock You Down.
Oh, yeah.
And then Pretty Girl Rock. Those are the only two songs that I know by Kerry Hilson. So, like, I don't expect to be going to this tour because I don't mess with Tank like that. I do like Carl Thomas, but I saw Carl Thomas on the Bad Boy Reunion tour. So, nigga, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, it's interesting that that they decided to go out on tour. And I'm not mad at it, for real, because, again, it's another one of those nostalgia tours. But apparently the group TGT is talking about going back out, and that's Tank, Genuine, and Tyrese. So Tank might be having money coming in from all type of tours, plus his little podcast for the next year or so, maybe 2 years or whatever.
Listen, bro, if you was talented enough, man, you gonna be able to make money later in your career. Facts. Doing these little reunion tours, always, bro.
As long as you keep your skill up, for real.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, you don't, like, well, I mean, I can't blame it on Beanie Siegel, because the nigga did get shot and had a collapsed lung. So, you know, his shit is different. But motherfuckers who go out there, like, if they actually are singers and didn't take care of their voice or, they, you know, whatever, you can't go on a nostalgia tour if your ass can't hit them notes no more. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, you can, you're just going to sound like Ray J.
And you're probably only going to be able to do it, like, once or twice before they stop wanting to have you on.
Exactly. Because if you're not settled in the crowd don't hear what they love from you. They're going to be like, I don't want to pay to see him. Or her, mm-hmm. whoever the hell it is. But I mean, you know, like I say, good luck to niggas on tour. And again, speaking of niggas on tour, Busta Rhymes had a tour that he was supposed to start out off of his new album this year. It was actually supposed to start in like maybe like a few days. And he actually canceled the tour just a couple days before it started. And there's not a reason yet anyway. Now, that's why it happened.
Look, I mean, typically, not obviously, it could obviously be a personal problem with, you know, a lot of times, I don't know, anything could happen, you know, family emergencies, mm-hmm. whatever, where he can't be on tour anymore, whatever the case may be. Another possibility is that the tickets didn't sell enough. Yeah. And the reality of it is that, like, you know, he's not the first one that's done this before. I think Lil Baby had to do the same thing not too long ago.
Yeah, and I feel like it's going to be the ticket issue, simply because, like, if it was anything else, like if it was a family emergency, Busta would have been like, I'm sorry, y'all, we can't do the tour because I have this emergency, blah, blah, blah. I feel like anything but low ticket sales would have been announced by either the promotion people that he's working with to put on the tour, or himself, period. So, like, I hope it's not low ticket sales, but it's kind of sounding like it might be low ticket sales, which is kind of sad, because Busta is an established, legit, vicious artist. Everybody likes Busta. But again, if the older generation isn't going out to see Busta, the new generation most likely isn't either, because the new generation only knows Busta from, like, a bunch of the features that he had, like, in the last, like, 10 years or so. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. he's only really done features. I mean, he's come out with an album now recently, and this is the first... Joe, he came out with a joint that had A-Rab money on it. And I want to say that was like 2010 or some shit like that.
Probably. Yeah, definitely around 2010. Man, I just feel like, honestly, Busta, first of all, is legendary.
Facts.
In rap, in music, in the culture, however you want to put it. He's talented as fuck. He's one of the most talented rappers, I would say.
And the longevity of his career is incredible. Yeah.
His ability to adapt and to not be like an old cranky old guy, you know what I mean? Like, he's been able to fucking stay relevant throughout this whole time, having legendary verses like the Look At Me Now verse. Obviously, everybody mentions that.
Oh yeah,
a lot of his older work. But the reality of it is this, man. That, like, I feel like, you know, another question that I have, I guess, is how big were the stadiums? Was it stadium tours? Was it Or because if that's the case, then you gotta think of, like, it gotta be more like a Fillmore type of situation. You know
yeah,
I mean?
that's one of the things I had kind of thought about before was the size of the venue, and that's gonna be a factor too, because it's like, is Busta Rhymes gonna be able to sell out a stadium in 2024, or is it gonna be more Fillmore 930 Club, like maybe even Echo Stage type shit? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's what I think, to be honest. Yeah. Like, honestly. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. Yeah,
you still pulling in money, nigga, shit.
Bro, it's very few artists, very, very few artists that can sell out arenas, especially in this time and age, bro. Like, you know, people don't have as much money to, you know, throw around to, you know, to go to concerts, as expensive as they are.
Exactly. Especially with all the damn fees you got to pay for and shit.
My nigga, I just went to the Bad Bunny concert, and that joint was I want to say like around $300 a ticket, and it was like not the greatest tickets, you know what I mean? So, and that's retail. That's what it costs off jump.
Yep. So, fuck them resellers, because them resellers be out the ass with that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, Busta apparently is, he says he's, or Busta has teased that there's going to be a new Flip Mode Squad album that's going to come out soon, and it will be the first in 26 years. Now, Flip Mode Squad, to my knowledge, only came out with one album, so it's going to be their second album. But I mean, it'd be interesting to see, you know, and to see the group back together, period, especially everybody in the group, because Flip Mode was actually a pretty good squad. Like, they, like, even Spliff could rap, Rod Digga could rap, you know, I'm like, the rest of them could rap too. So it's like, I would definitely be interested to see what a Flip Mode Squad sound album sound like in 2024.
Yeah. And, you know, we've seen, you know, groups like Ox put out something, I don't want to say recent because it was like two years ago.
Because I was at my friend's wedding when that shit came out. So it had to be like 2-3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, it wasn't too long ago. But nonetheless, you know, Dave, and I liked how they were like dibbling and dabbling in like some newer kind of different sounds.
Yep.
Which, cool. You know, I get that and I want that. As a fan, from a fan perspective, right?
Of course.
But I also want what they're known for.
The
you know
gritty,
what I mean?
The grimy, the dirty,
the gritty, the, all that. So I guess what I would love to expect to hear from this project coming up is pretty much exactly what I said, which is, you know, trying some of the new stuff, not going too crazy with it, but just kind of dibbling and dabbling. But definitely your core of it is what your core audience is going to want to listen to, which is what fucking became famous rappers for doing.
Exactly. Facts. And they were all spitters. That's the crazy part, is that they were all good. Like, I can't even remember, like, the last couple members of the group names, honestly, for real. And I feel terrible for that. But, I mean, it's been 26 years since some niggas been together. But, like, from the people that I can remember, they were all spitters. They were all really good, and they all came with an incredible energy. They all came with Busta-like energy. So it's like, I need that on this album as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to hear no slow down version where everybody sound tired and like they don't want to be there. Like, I want to hear that energy that the group is known for, especially Busta. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So hey, sure. We'll see what it is. You know what I'm saying? And whenever it comes out, if it ever come out, because you know niggas always talk about some shit's gonna come out, but then shit don't ever come out,
bro. Even the Lox album that did come out recently, that joint was supposed to come out like 7 years ago. I swear they've been talking about it for forever. Now, granted, obviously, I'm sure there's a lot of different obstacles in the way of, you know, that come into play when releasing the album,
of course.
But nonetheless,
and just schedules, because all three of them niggas got mad shit that they're into. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
other shit. They've all got businesses and other ventures and shit that they take care of. So like, I'm assuming like, you know, the scheduling has got to be right for that.
Yeah, and you know they're all fathers and you know family men, and I'm pretty sure they're all married, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. Yeah.
So yeah, man, it's
yeah. Well, Cardi came out with a new track, which samples the She's a Bitch beat from Missy Elliott. And we got a chance to listen to that joint before the show. I like it. I like it off the rip, first of all, because it used one of my favorite Missy old school beats. Because the She's a Bitch beat is hot. I don't care what anybody says. That is a classic.
Oh, that's Timberland, right? Or Timberland.
Timberland, yep.
Oh my god!
You can hate it, but you was bopping earlier, nigga.
I was, and I kind of was right now in my head when I was playing the bum bum bum.
Yep. But yo, Cardi killed that shit, dog. She was lyrical as fuck on that shit. She said the only L I'm taking is after YS. I was like, that bitch is funny as hell. I love it. Her creativity, and I don't, like I said, we've talked about it before. A lot of people are like, well, Cardi don't write her shit. At this point, Cardi don't need to write her shit as long as she's still spitting it the way that she's spitting it. Like, I think is good. I'm not saying that she's not writing her shit. I'm not saying that she is writing her shit. I'm just saying that I fucking love the way that Cardi spits, and Cardi's spitting like old Cardi right now again. Like, back like mixtape Cardi. Like, we're hearing that style come back. So that's one of the things that I really like, because I love it when Cardi's on like that rah-rah, that energy, that angry, you know, like she's on that shit where she's talking her shit. I love it, which is probably why I like her shit on the Glorilla song and the shit on the fucking Latto song, because she's just talking her shit and just being the most Cardi-ish that she can be.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, man. Yeah, I listened to it, and I kind of just wish, man, And again, maybe this has to do with her not writing her music, but sometimes certain lines, I'm just like, man. All right, here's my problem when it comes to that situation. Right? Mm-hmm. And I love Cardi. Yeah. I fucking love Cardi. I would love her music. I love her personality. Her as a, you know, as a celebrity or whatever. I think she's great, right? But I have to say this, bro. I feel like whenever I hear a Cardi B song, a lot of times since she doesn't write her shit, it's kind of hard to think that she would use these words or phrases that she does in her songs. So it's hard to buy in on what's going on. You know what I mean? So now again, I say that again, repeating to everybody listening that I fucking love Cardi, right? But sometimes that's why I feel like her music doesn't hit as hard for me, because it's like, okay, she didn't write this joint, so I couldn't really see her saying that. Like for example, with certain shit that Future says in his music, I could see him saying that, like it that's very on par with Future. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I will say that she does have a lot of joints on there that sound like shit she would say, like, on Instagram or on Twitter or some shit. Like, when she says, she acting like she don't love me. She acting like she hate me, but she love me. Girl, knock it off. Like, that's something Cardi would say. Like, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could. I don't know if she wrote that. I mean, I would imagine that she wrote that, because, again, it sounds like something that she would have Twitter fingers for. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And another thing, you know, we don't know how much she's even using ghostwriting nowadays. I mean, I don't know if that's really. So, again, not to put out that that's what's going on, but obviously that's what it's been in the past. So, you know, we're just, you know, I'm sure that there's some level of that probably still going on, but who knows if it's as evident as it was before.
True. And I will say that the song is called Like What, because I definitely didn't give the name of it before. It's Like What Freestyle. So go ahead and check that out if y'all are Cardi B fans like we are, and get your own opinion on it, because this is something that we love. This is one of the topics we'd love to discuss, whether, like, we always talk about, right, like, people who write their music and how they're looked at, like, you know, more respectfully kind of in hip-hop and shit like that. But we already know that more and more and more and more, even the biggest rappers are not writing their own lyrics all the time.
All right.
Like, they may write a good amount of them, but they don't write every single lyric. And I realize this.
Let me just say this, right, because you saying that just made me realize some shit. So, and I'm going to make a connection between the sneaker culture and hip-hop culture, right?
Okay, go ahead, connect them dots.
All right. Back in the day, right, there was more like if you were considered like a sneakerhead, you really kind of like cared about certain things, about like you would never rock fake shoes.
Yeah.
You know, there was certain J's that you would wear, certain J's you wouldn't. Shit like that. You wouldn't cross the Adidas and Nike line type shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, shit like that. And I feel like more and more now, people who wear sneakers, like back then, if you wore sneakers, you fit into like the, oh, you're a sneakerhead.
Yeah.
Nowadays, there's shoes, people buy, you know, $600-$700 shoes, or that are like, that's what they're going for on a resale market.
Yeah.
But they don't know, like, they're not into the culture. They kind of just like them because, you know, and again, there's nothing wrong with that, but I say that to say, right, that I feel like right now, the majority there's almost no niche groups anymore. Like, and I feel like hip hop and rap kind of was that, but I feel like, you know, obviously it essentially became pop.
Yeah.
And it became kind of pop culture and shit like that. So, I feel like, you know, for that reason, you know, it kind of is, damn, what the fuck is what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to get the shit out.
Maybe just because the use of ghostwriters is more needed, because in pop music, motherfuckers can have like 26 people who wrote a song.
Okay, that's not what I was going to say, but that reminded me what I was going to say. So I think for that reason, people don't be tripping about people, you know, writing their own songs anymore, because I feel like the same thing with sneakers, right, where like there's a lot more casual fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing in hip hop. Like, you know, people who are listening, the people who are really moving the needle isn't the hardcore fans. That's the reality.
That's a fact. And honestly, I, like you said, it's just too many casual listeners nowadays. And because of that, it's not really a standard that's really held up anymore, is that you have to be writing your own lyrics to like really, really make it. And because people, you know, they just don't care about that anymore. And I mean, like, we've seen it. Like, you know, Nicki Minaj doesn't write all her shit. We already know that, right? But mm-hmm. she's still one of the biggest artists in the fucking world. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, like, I remember one of my friends was mad as shit because he's like, oh, I can't respect Snoop Dogg anymore because he doesn't write all his lyrics, blah, 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 anymore. I was like, but this new generation doesn't, it doesn't matter about that. Way that hip-hop is structured now, it's not, it's like all the old school stuff that we grew up on that, that motherfuckers were held to account for as artists, they're not held to account for that stuff now.
I mean, think about just the whole snitching shit. Like, oh, yeah. like, granted, I'm not pushing that I give a fuck about this or not, right? But, like, the whole Gunna situation, I know that there's a lot that we don't know about, right? Because we obviously haven't really been in the courtroom. But it just really just looks the way that I've seen it painted out by certain people. To me, it's like, damn, if I gave a fuck about niggas telling or not, right? Mm-hmm. That, to me, that motherfucker told. Yeah. If I cared about that, right? Yeah. So, dog, he came out and had one of the biggest albums of the fucking year in hip-hop. Mm-hmm. Like, that song Fuck You Mean is a fucking hit everywhere. You hear the
fucking mean. And I'll also take it this way, right? When it comes to, oh shit, now I forgot what the fuck I was gonna say. what the fuck was I gonna really say? Like when you see new artists, right? Artists were usually found by other established artists or producers or whatever, and they were like, you know, the person rapped for that producer or that artist, and then the artist brought them to the record label or to the A&R and was like, yo, go ahead and spit for them. And that's how you got your job as a rapper before, proving that you could freestyle, spit, blah, 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 blah. That is so far ancient out the window now. Like, I haven't heard about any rapper in the last 15 years, for real, that got their job by going to the state, to the record label, and rapping for the producers or rapping for the artists right off there, or the artist saying, I got this new nigga that I found, blah, 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 here, go ahead and hear him out. You don't hear about that anymore. And that was one of the biggest things that got people deals, was you had to go in and prove that you could actually rap. Mm-hmm. And just freestyle your ass off real fast so that they could decide whether they were going to give you a deal or not. And now it's just like we've said before, you go on SoundCloud or some shit like that and find somebody with a big enough following and an okay sounding sound, and they'll sign them. Or it's just like you have this one rapper who fits this mold, and then they have their crew of homies that they hang out with, and then they just allow them their crew to record and do all the other stuff because that's what they want to do. Like, you know, like no one is really held to account of, can you actually hold yourself in a freestyle? And like you said, when we do the when they do the cyphers on the BET Awards and the BET Hip Hop Awards and shit like that, we don't really get very good cyphers anymore. We only get them from like maybe one or two of like the six people that are there. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
So like, and again, that's just a skill that is no longer featured in hip hop. It's just like proving it.
But see, that's another topic right there, which is like, you know, I remember like shit like the BET Awards and like the cyphers that used to come out.
Hell yeah.
Bro, there used to be classic legendary ones. Like to me, bro, the one that I will never forget. Now shout outs to y'all. And you, if you remember this joint, but it was one that was Lupe Fiasco, Papoose, and Styles P.
Yes. Oh my God.
You remember that joint?
Hell yes.
Dog. One of my favorite cyphers ever. I just remember that Styles P started the joint off with, "Don't call me the ghost no more, call me the phantom. No, 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 real niggas understand them. Some stuff. And I was like, damn, dog. Styles and Lupe Fiasco. What again, a fucking combo.
These are all niggas who had to rap in order to get a contract to be a rapper. You know what I'm saying?
Now,
they had to
come and
prove their worth in...
Go ahead. Let me say this, though, right? So I've seen recently rappers like... Now, this is once they, like, already have blown up and you know whatever, but I've seen people recently do the whole thing where they're rapping in like a conference room, mm-hmm. and you know, with a bunch of execs there and shit like that. So I've seen that happen, but I guess I don't know if what you're saying is that like people who are virtually unknown,
if they're established and they're doing that, okay, do it if you want to, but like, yeah, this is like a nigga trying to get a contract, trying to get signed.
I mean, but like, because, see, here's the thing, right? I feel like there was a lot more value in getting signed back in the day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, back in the day, you would get signed and maybe not have, and you kind of have to have a whole lot of motion for a company to want to fuck with you.
Yeah.
Because right now it's like, dog, like you really don't need anything to, you know, you can make music all you want. You don't even need to have a fucking studio. You could just buy a microphone and a laptop and you could fucking make a whole mixtape. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like,
it's literally as simple as that. So I feel like, you know, execs are probably like, look, man, we're not going to take you serious if you're not out here already doing everything that you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, back in the day, I don't know. I just feel like it wasn't as easy. So like you kind of, if people were making music, like there was a lot less to cipher through it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, again, it's just one of the many things that we grew up on with hip hop that is just no longer valid anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking to hear and to see. But I mean, like, again, it's a whole new generation. You know, they're going to do what the fuck they want to do. And like, you just kind of have to, I mean, which I don't want to say we have to deal with it, but we kind of do, you know what I'm saying? Like, is what's going on right now. That's the expectation of how to become a rapper right now. And it doesn't really seem to be changing because it's been almost the same formula for like 10 plus years now. So, I mean, maybe there'll be another renaissance in rap where more people go for the actual, like actually spitting rhymes and shit. Who the fuck knows? Hopefully it does, but I feel like it's going to be like that part of hip hop is going to be very niche now, just like kind of like it has been for like the last 6-7 years.
Oh, I mean, hell yeah. I mean, if you think about it, you know, the only like recent rappers is Benny the Butcher, Freddie Gibbs, yep.
Conway
and Machine, you know, that whole Griselda gang. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know, as far as like popular mainstream rappers, there really are far and few in between. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we used to have Wale, but Wale hasn't put out music in God knows how long at this point.
Yeah, it's been a minute since he put out music. Almost right? Like 20, was 2015?
Shit, let me see. I think it might have been after that, because I think he put out that Blue Moon joint like in like 2019, but. It has definitely been a minute. Well, actually, I say that, and oh shit, I did not realize he put an album out in 2022. The More About Nothing.
Wait a minute, More About Nothing came out way before that. More About Nothing came out in 2010. That was a mixtape.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
It's gonna say
he had Wow, That's Crazy in 2019, Falarin 2 in 2021. Ray Ray from Summerhill. I don't know what the fuck that is. In 2018.
Oh, you know what? I think that's just it got put up on streaming services.
Okay. The Imperfect Storm in 2020. So he's actually been putting out some stuff. I give it to him. Most of it has been EP look like type things.
Well, he put out 2019, Wow, That's Crazy. Mm-hmm. And then he put out Florian too.
Yeah. I think those are the only two albums, because everything else is looking like EPs from like 2018, 17.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I mean, like, he's still putting out stuff, but yeah, it's been a little bit now since he's put out an actual album.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's due. I think it's been three and a half years.
Yeah,
I would love to hear a Wale album, mainly because he stayed out of, like, I feel like he's done a really good job at kind of just staying out of the limelight,
especially since he was wilding the fuck out the last time he was in it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think I would love to hear, I would love to see him kind of just randomly post like, hey, album dropping Friday.
No.
I would love that. I would honestly love that. So, you know, I'm speaking that out into the world right now.
Hey, there you go. All right. Well, another person trying to speak some stuff out into the world is Juice WRLD's old girlfriend. Apparently, mm-hmm. she on OnlyFans put up their a sex tape of theirs and making money off of that, and now she's selling his clothes apparently for mad cheap online. Why you would want to sell this nigga's clothing? I don't know. Why don't you just donate it to Goodwill or give it to some little nigga that you know? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. But I mean, like, everybody's gonna do anything, especially like the ex of like a superstar, to try and get that bag or to maintain that bag, because you know they're used to a certain lifestyle.
Right.
And maybe she can't fulfill those lifestyle needs on her own. You know what I'm saying? So that's why she's trying to do all of this now, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I think that is mad, mad wild to sell someone's clothes, especially like 3 years after they die. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, yeah, it belonged to him, but I mean, what else is special about these clothes? These are the same clothes that any of us niggas could have bought. Probably kind of, sort of. You know what I'm saying?
No, the crazy part is that I think she's selling them for, like, you know, like, not crazy prices. So it's like, she got to be, like, broke as hell or, like, you know, something along those lines for her to be going through to this extent. Now, granted, you're probably, you know, I guess to play devil's advocate, you could say, like, what's the point of her keeping this clothes? She might as well get something from it. But I guess, like you said, you know, you would only really do that if you really need the money, because otherwise you'd give it away, you donate the clothes, true, whatever the case may be.
And it's not like he was like, it's not like he had been in the industry for, like, you know, 50 some years and these were like specific shit that he wore on this specialty tour or something, right, something. Because, like, Mariah Carey could do some shit like that, where this is the gown that I wore on the Glitter tour, or this is the outfit I wore in the Honey video, or this is the Joan I wore in the Shake It Off video. You know what I'm saying? Mariah's got that type of shit where she's got that clout just by being Mariah Carey, that her clothing could then sell because it's iconic shit that we've seen 150 million times over, and it's going to do that. Like, Juice WRLD just didn't have that clout behind him, number one, because he just wasn't in the industry long enough.
Well, for one, I think even then, I think they said that the clothes that's being sold wasn't even worn. So it's not like...
so but he even got his funk on it.
Exactly. So
some shit he never got around to wearing.
Even if he did have, you know, these moments, the clothes that's being sold, from my understanding, is brand new. It's just clothes that he never wore, I guess.
So, I mean, she could just be buying shit and say, oh, this is some Juice WRLD shit.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, like again, if that's the case, it makes you wonder why she's doing this, because she's not selling it for, like, outlandish prices. You know, because, like, you know, I'm sure there's a fan out there who would be like, oh, I have to get the Juice WRLD owned, you know, Supreme, whatever the fuck.
I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there for that, but
for sure.
But I think it's just a real late move. You know what I'm saying? It's like it smells of I need money, and I can't stand it when people do shit just for the I need money. You know what I'm saying? Especially some shit like this, where you're just gonna sell an artist clothes. And again, like, if they're brand new, we don't know if that nigga actually bought them. You know what I'm saying? Like, she could have just gone to the thrift shop,
right?
And even selling it for the low, she already came up like 100%.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. That's a fact. But I don't know, man. It's a shame, you know, that she's... this is all clout chase at the end of the day. You know, with the whole sex tape shit and everything.
Yeah, facts.
Which, I mean, I don't even know if that's, like, official or whatever the case is, but it is all, it's all her trying to profit off of his name one last time.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, you know what I mean? It's unfortunate that this is the person that he was with.
Exactly. Because, I mean, I'm sure old girl that was with, what was that, PNB Rock, when he got shot, she could have done some shit like that with his shit that he probably actually wore. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, like, we haven't heard shit from her since that man died. And thank you. We don't really need to. You know what I'm saying? Like, go ahead and grieve and then handle your shit. And, like, you weren't the famous one to begin with. So, you know, like, no guarantee you're going to be famous. She's, like you said, she's clout chasing. She's trying to keep her name in the lights. And it's off of her dead ex, which is the most repugnant shit in the world, in my opinion.
I'm with you. So, I'm with you, man.
All right. Well, let's move on to something a little lighter, because I hate talking about fucking clout chasers. Dylan Dillinger.
Yes.
Recently had a fucking interview where he said that the Dave Chappelle skit of the band ruined his fucking career. No one would take him seriously when he approached record labels because, oh, that's the nigga that Dave Chappelle made fun of? Yeah, anybody trying to fuck with him, blah, blah, blah. And I feel bad that happened to him, but at the same time, he didn't really... Honestly, on making the band, there wasn't much you saw of Dylan and his contributions to the group.
Contributions is a crazy
His contributions to the group. Because number one, I remember I watched Making the Band. I don't know if you did. I watched Making the Band. That nigga was never there. He was either dealing with some court shit that he had to deal with, or he was like finding a way to skip out on shit, whether it was studio time, shows, whatever, whatever. I think out of their album, I want to say maybe somewhere between 10 and 15 tracks, Dylan may have been all three.
Jeez.
So, you know, and then he got kicked out the group before the group broke up. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So it was just like, there wasn't much that we had to go on of Dylan's work ethic, like you could see for Babs, like you could see for Ness, like you see for Freddie, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then of course he's trying to do his own career. I get it. You know, you want to do what you want to do because that's what you love to do. But at the same time, if you've been on TV and had exposure and been in an internationally known group, because the show was international, you can't fake on that. It was. Whether the group was popular international, I don't know. But the show was international because it ran on MTV and MTV everywhere.
MTV Spanish joint, all that shit.
The Japanese joint, you know, MTV UK, all that shit. Mm-hmm. So when you don't have any record of how it is that you actually are as an artist, and people only know, and that means that people can't bounce that against what Dave Chappelle made fun of you for.
Right.
And see, okay, well, I can see what Dave Chappelle was doing, but we've actually seen that this man worked hard, he did this, blah, 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 blah. You don't get that with Dylan because he wasn't there half the time, or more than half the time. So I understand why people were not, like, eager to jump on the Dylan train and give him a chance. But at the same time, it was fucked up that motherfuckers just didn't see that that was a joke on fucking Dave Chappelle and couldn't separate the joke from, okay, well, let's see what the artist is actually about if I only know him because of the joke.
I mean, but let's be real, bro. Like, people do that shit all the fucking time.
Facts.
Even like in school, like, you know, if like something embarrassing happens to you, like, dog, people will like constantly be like, oh, you're the guy who, you know, that this happened to or whatever. Yep. Like, that's just people. That's just people. So I don't think, you know, necessarily there's malice behind it on Dave Chappelle's side. You know what I mean?
No, definitely not.
I just think it's one of those unfortunate situations that,
yeah,
that people really fucking thought that shit was hilarious, you know? Yeah.
I mean, like, Dave Chappelle at that point was, like, the biggest thing on TV. Like, the absolute biggest thing on TV. So everybody knew about it. Everybody watched it. We was all quoting the shit.
Dog, it's probably one of the most famous, definitely top 10 most famous Dave Chappelle show or Chappelle show quotes.
Facts, 150%.
And there's many great ones. Don't get me wrong.
There are so many quotables from Dave Chappelle, and I say this as a nigga who has probably said them all 150 million times. You know what I'm saying?
At random times.
All day, every day. God damn it.
Dog. Oh my god. I just thought like of like five of them right now. Like just the whole idea of a race draft.
Uh huh.
It's fucking hilarious. You know what I mean? player haters ball. Come on, dog. The joint where they work at the printer shop.
Oh yeah, the pop copy or whatever the fuck this shit was
called.
What about the Samuel L. Jackson beer joint? That joint was it'll get you drunk.
bro. He's a fucking legend, man. And you know, honestly, to me, right, it's just funny he's coming out and saying this now. Like, why not say this when the actual shit came out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dylan himself, because it's like, bro, like, because pretty much he was like, yo, like, you know, the whole thing about comedians is that they do a play on something that I said, but I never said that I was top five. Or
exactly. Like, yeah, Dylan was like, I never said that at all. And he didn't.
But who cares? It was funny.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing about it. And I think it's kind of like that whole thing, you know, like if you kind of go against the grain and people are laughing at you, people are going to laugh at you even harder.
Basically. Because
people. So I think the best thing you can do is lean into it and kind of just try to ride the wave out and not try to fight against it because it's just going to come harder. That's just the reality of things.
The more you fight, the more they're going to laugh at your ass.
Mm-hmm. Because then you're gonna be like, damn, this nigga mad as shit talking about something. So it's like, yeah. Nah, I mean, I think it's kind of ridiculous for him to come out now. Now, granted, maybe this was an interview, and that's why it came out how it did. But it's looking like it was just something that came out. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of weird.
Well, our last topic before we get to this game is, did he got more allegations against him?
Jeez.
I'm trying to remember, they said, hold on, should be more prepared, shouldn't I? Who came up with this joint now? I don't remember who the last person was, but it was somebody was like, you know, I had a recording session with Diddy, and he was like groping me and grabbing my ass and shit like that. And I told his, you know, basically his first mate, like his person number two, you know, I wasn't comfortable with this, and they just kind of like covered it up. So they basically saying that like Diddy is on his what's that nigga's name from the movies, Weinstein shit. And then like this, then this chick is his Giselle Maxwell joint, where she's just like aiding and abetting this shit. You know what I'm saying? People have been saying that Usher had the sexual assault by him, and people have been saying that Meek was fucking with him, and they've come out and said multiple other people, and it's just like,
I think Chris Brown too, right?
Yeah, Chris Brown too, and it's just like, damn, did he like? All of this shit is like, it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. And it's coming from both men and women, which is the wildest part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't even know what to say about it. Diddy ain't talking about it. He paid off Cassie within 24 hours, but I ain't heard of him paying anybody else since they came out with any type of allegations against him. So, like, sound like Cassie's the most credible one.
Mm-hmm. And look, I'm going to be totally honest with you, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I believe all of this shit, to be honest with you.
I do too.
But I'm not saying all of it happened for sure, but I believe that, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Diddy did all this shit. Just because Diddy has, like, I've seen like a couple of documentaries where people kind of pinpoint all the shit that happened and how grimy Diddy's been, and how, like, for like one of the ones that kind of gets overlooked, I feel, is how he did Shine.
Yeah.
With the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that the girl who got shot in that whole situation came out and said that Diddy's the one who shot her?
I did not, but I'm also not surprised.
Yeah, so it's like, damn, bro, like, oh, and supposedly that, like, Diddy did some shit during that trial that got Shine in more trouble that he didn't have to do because he wasn't even getting charged for anything, really.
What a beast.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Diddy got some splaining to do.
Yes,
we're not gonna stay on this topic too much because we don't have all of the information, and I'm sorry that we didn't get all of the new information stuff. But I mean, this is like the third, maybe fourth round of allegations that have hit Diddy since the whole Cassie shit came out. Not even 6 months ago.
It's gonna continue to come, man. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised. There's a reason why, you know. He legit could be like responsible for both Tupac and Biggie's deaths if you really think about it.
Facts. It would be insane. But I need somebody to prove it though. Cause there's legitimate chances. There's legitimate chances.
Dog, I'm sure we've talked about it on the show before, but they said that, or Kid Cudi said that he blew up his car because he was dating Cassie.
Mm-hmm. Cassie. Again, legitimate reasons.
Hold on. Did you hear about this supposedly Wale being hung outside of a fucking studio, outside of a balcony?
No. They treated him like Vanilla Ice?
Yeah, they did. He got hit with the Vanilla Ice.
By who? Diddy?
By Diddy's niggas or Diddy or somebody.
Wow. No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, dog.
See? Okay, see, these strong arm tactics, they lasting through the 90s and shit. Okay.
But that's what I think it is, bro, is that it lasted throughout the 90s because there wasn't as much proof as, like, cell phones and shit like that. Now, bro, if you did some shit, that's why, dog, man, shit be coming back to haunt niggas now, because it's like, dog, there's so much technology now, so much shit now that you used to be able to get away with, mm-hmm. and they're already used to living that way. So that's how they get caught up.
There you go. Well, hey, again, Diddy got some explaining to do. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to hear what the fuck he actually has to say.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
But hey, we're going to go ahead and slip right into the game time around this joint. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So my friend Chris, you are the next next person on the Hip Hop Answer Is Right. Let's see how you do on this, sir.
Let's do it.
All right. So the first question I got for you, sir. What rapper made the phrase "hot damn hoe, here we go again" popular?
Jesus, I don't get no choices, do I?
Mm-mm. Because I didn't write no choices, so you don't get no choices. And I'm not good at giving choices off the fly.
Hold on. Say it again. What was the phrase?
What rapper made the phrase "hot damn ho, here we go again" popular?
Damn. I'm going to say I don't know, but I feel like once you say it, I'm going to be like, okay, that kind of. All
right. It was Lil' Kim.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I would have never. For some reason, I was thinking like way before her. I was thinking like early, like late 80s or something.
All right. The next question for you, Rel.
Let's go ahead.
What is Fat Joe's most well-known nickname?
Joey Crack.
Ding, 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 ding. I'm gonna add these in later. I'm gonna add all the X's and the right answer jumps in later when I actually have sound effects. You know what I'm saying?
I bet for sure.
Next question: who were the members of the Hot Boys group? I named them all earlier and didn't realize that I did that. So,
jeez, Turk, Juvenile, Wayne. You mentioned.
I'll give you a hint. Give you a hint. It's the same letters as Bubble Guts.
Oh, BG.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. Number four. What Memphis rap group won a Grammy for the movie Hustle and Flow?
Oh, come on. 3 6 Mafia.
I had to throw you an easy one, baby. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair. Fair to say. That's a good one in the middle of like a somewhat hard one, I guess.
There you go. All right. What was Master P's label called?
Oh, fuck. I know this too. Wow. This is going to be one of the ones where I'm like, I knew that that's what it was, but I just can't fucking remember right now. Fuck. Oh, damn. No Limit.
Yes. There you go.
Damn, that was about to blow me.
All right. What was the name of the song Mariah Carey did with Bone Thugs and Harmony?
Fuck, because this bitch did a song with everybody. Did a song with fucking The Lox. That's Honey, right? The Lox one is
yep,
Honey.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. Oh my God. I don't know. I can't think of it.
Break down. Steady breaking me on down.
Yeah, nah, that title was not put to come to mind at all. All
right. A hard question for you, sir.
Let's go.
How many members are in the Wu-Tang Clan officially?
Ooh. This is 100% going to be a stab in the dark here. But I know it's definitely more than like 8.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say like 14.
No, it's only 10. Technically 9, really? But they claim it 10. The members RZA, GZA, Method Man, Raekwon, Ghostface, Killa, Inspector Deck, Master Killa, ODB, and Capadonna.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, like I said, that was a stab in the dark. I really had no idea.
All right, and next question is question number 8. How many albums does Jay-Z have released? Has released? How many albums has Jay-Z released? Sorry, if I could speak English, it'd be much better.
All right. Damn. Do compilations count?
Nope. Just albums.
Just solo albums.
Just solo albums. No compilations, no soundtracks, no art with other artists and shit. Just him by himself.
All right. So we're gonna go backwards. So we're gonna go 444. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna go Magna Carta, Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
Then I want to say is it Blueprint 3?
Okay.
That's fucking 3. All right, I'm going to just take a wild stab in the dark here. I'm going to say 8?
Mm-mm. 13.
No? Oh, shit.
13, baby.
Jeez. All
right, number 9. This should be an easy one. What is Missy Elliott's entertainment middle name?
Shit, I mean, maybe easy to you, goddammit. her entertainment, damn. I don't know, bro. You're going to have to tell me.
Misdemeanor. Missy Misdemeanor Elliott.
Oh, yeah, I was never going to get that. Never.
All right, and question number 10. Who are the top five rappers of all time?
Dylan.
And why is that?
Because he spit out fire.
My nigga! There you go!
Come on.
Woo! I knew he was going to get that one.
had to end it on a strong note. No. I was looking kind of weak throughout most of that joke.
And it was actually funny because that was the last one I wrote right before we had the discussion on the show and you brought up the Dylan J. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 10. So 50% score, sir. I need better from you.
Listen, when we was in high school, 50% got you to the next grade, so let's get it.
50% barely got you to the next grade.
Actually, no, I'm lying. 60%. So exactly. 50%. Matter of fact, dog, this is crazy. And when I was in fucking high school, you got 50% just for writing your name. Oh, God. Nice. Yep.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, thank you for playing the game with me, sir. And thank you for everybody for coming back. We're going to have to do it again. I'll make another one.
Hey, listen. Listen. Let's do this. Every week, we're going to alternate. So next, I'm going to come up with 10 questions for next episode.
All right.
And we're going to go like that.
All right. Sounds good. And again, thank you for everybody coming back to listen with us. I know it's been a while since we've been here to grace y'all with our lovely voices.
Yes, we're going to be back.
But we are back. We're going to do that regular episode next week with Chris's questions. And then after that, we're going to do the album review
for
the new Kali Uchis album. I can never remember what it's called, but I can't say it anyway.
Orchids in Spanish, pretty much.
There you go. And it's a fucking fantastic album, so catch a listen to it before we do an review of it. It's actually majorly in Spanish, so this is gonna be new for your boy Trey. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be new for Cooper, so let's do this. Again, thank y'all. We don't have anything to recommend this week, so we're just gonna go with be good, and if you can't be good, be the best you can be.
If you can't do that, man, at least make your mama proud, man. Yeah, I don't really have much to say either, you know what I mean? I usually have my turn signal spiel or the fat guy. Actually, you know what? Fat guy spiel, all right? Summertime is here. They're springing clocks forward tomorrow morning. It is. Yes, it is. Uh-huh. Yes, indeed. So tomorrow in 24 hours, it will not be 5 o'clock p.m. It will actually be 6 o'clock p.m. So y'all make sure y'all do what y'all gotta do. You know what I mean? And yeah. By the time I hear this, though, it already too late.
All right, y'all. Thank you again for coming and listening and hanging out with us. Take care of yourselves. Love each other. Wash your hands. Wash your ass. We out this bitch. Peace.
Peace.